Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
4 o'clock on the dot. We keep rolling towards the weekend. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello here with you. Gwynn and Chris, our people, our businesses, and our leaders will help hashtag Move California Forward. You can help move us forward and stay connected while listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris, yesterday your nice streak of whooping on folks came to an end.
I think the last 2 days we've had a caller call in and run the table in our Chris versus the Fans game. So we've had some good contestants out there that have been able to take the game down, and hopefully somebody will do it today and win a Shirts on Tap 97.3 The Fan prize pack that includes a free limited edition The Fan t-shirt and a free 3-month subscription to Shirts on Tap, a monthly club that sends beer fans a custom shirt from a local brewery. For more information, go to shirtsontap.com. Players have been tough this week. It's been a good week.
Yeah, and we've got the prize out of the way. We've got players online. Let's get to the game.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scraby, give us the rules.
You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
Well, all right. Let's get to our first contestant. He's a first-time player.
First-time player.
Brian out in Carlsbad. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, happy Friday to you guys, too.
It's a nice introduction you got there, Brian. Trumpets
and
everything.
Let's get to the first
question. Yeah, I hope I don't let it down.
Well, you'll definitely get through the first round.
No doubt about it. What color is the helmet of the Cleveland Browns?
That orange?
It is orange. Didn't even need his free pass.
Yeah. No.
Moves into round number 2 where it really gets serious. What worldwide retailer is based in Arkansas?
Walmart.
Woo.
Woo. Gosh, that is correct.
Can you answer any quicker?
I don't think so. I honestly don't.
Brian.
Clearly had studied that or something.
Brian, I hope you have something to talk about for the next 12 minutes if you get this question.
No, he's going to get it right. I have a feeling.
Here we go. Question number 3 for the championship.
Yeah.
Sofia is the capital of which country?
Oh, man. what kind of question is this?
It's a Scraby question. It's a Scraby question.
Sofia, I don't know, Slovenia?
Slovenia, good guess. Incorrect. Hang on, though.
Unbelievably, I know this. I am a...
Oh, of course.
I am a...
Do you really know this?
Yeah, I really do. I'm really crazy on capitals. I'm really good at it. Sofia is the capital of Bulgaria.
No way.
Wow. Right. Sorry.
I am really
sorry,
good at
Brian.
That. I don't know what it is. My dad
Call
sat
back
down
anytime,
with me
Brian.
When I was little and made me learn. He made me learn all 50 state capitals by the time I was like 6 years old. And then he would walk me around to parties and go, ask him any state capital, ask him any state capital. And like, if I ever missed one, he would take me back behind the thing.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, take the belt to me if I, no, he didn't.
I was going
to
say, this explains a lot.
I'm just joking.
This went sideways real quick.
No, he never did. He
we need
never,
a Netflix special
never,
on
ever,
Grisello.
Never, ever did that. But I've always known all the state capitals, and I know a lot of the world capitals.
Do you know the capital of Moldova?
I don't, so I don't know them all.
I should have put down that. It's cheesy now.
There you go.
You know, part of the reason why I asked that question is because I didn't think Chris knew the answer to that one.
The only reason I thought he may know it is because he has traveled in his lifetime. He's been to plenty of places.
He's well-traveled.
Not to Bulgaria, though.
Okay.
I couldn't even honestly tell you where Bulgaria is. I couldn't pick it out on a map.
It's a Baltic state.
Oh, thank you, Scrape.
Thank you. Thank you, Scrape. Let's get to Tanner.
It's a Baltic state.
It is. It's a Baltic state.
It's not a state.
It's a country.
You know where Scrape comes? No, but the Baltic states are like Lithuania, Bulgaria, Ukraine, places like that.
Tanner, I'm trying to get to you. Hold on, man. I'll let these guys finish this.
I mean, the Scraby name is from Lithuania. It's a Lithuanian name. It used to be Skrebis. Yes.
We're going
to
send you back there pretty soon if you keep this up.
Okay. What's the capital of Lithuania?
Can we get Tanner on now?
Vilnius. Thank you.
Okay.
Tanner out in Vista. How you doing, brother? Sorry you had to wait so long.
I'm great. How about you guys?
Tanner's a good player. I know that.
Here we go. First question. Who has the most rushing yards in Aztec football history?
I'm drawing a blank. Why am I drawing a blank? Rand. Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk used to be the rushing leader. That is incorrect.
Rashad Penny, don't tell me. Oh, shoot.
No, DJ Pumphrey is the all-time rushing leader. I think he's like led the when he retired. I think he led all of college football. DJ Pumphrey did.
I'm sorry, Tanger. That Tanger, you had to wait through my Lithuania talk for that.
That probably threw him off.
Yeah, all right, man.
Okay, thank you.
Threw him off.
Let's get to Anthony and La Mesa. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Anthony, happy Friday to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Anthony.
Going well, brother. Going well. Here we go. First question.
Turn your radio down, Anthony.
Who holds the record for most strikeouts as a Padre pitcher?
As a Padre pitcher?
Yes, sir.
Trevor Hoffman.
Trevor Hoffman. That is incorrect.
Stay there.
Christopher Ello for the steal.
Well, is this, I mean, I don't know, is this one game, one season, the history of the Padres, or do we get that information?
We don't have that information.
It's a franchise record.
Franchise record.
Franchise
game,
record
season?
For most strikeouts?
Yes, for the career.
Okay. Career
Padre. Career Padre strikeout.
I guess franchise record means more things, too.
I don't know what you're talking
this
about.
This is of all time in Padres history. Who has struck out the most batters?
Jake Peavy.
Boom. That is correct.
Oh. Sorry, Anthony.
Sorry, Anthony.
We moved to Tom out in El Cajon. Tom, welcome to Gwen and Chris.
I mean, it could have been
Friday?
Kevin Brown for one game, or it could have been one.
No, you're right. You're right.
I didn't know what he was getting at there.
You're right.
So. Tom, I'm sorry. How's your day going today?
Hey, Tom.
Good, man. How are you guys?
We are good. Well. Here we go. First question. Name a school in the Big Ten Conference for football.
The Big Ten Conference. Florida.
That is incorrect.
Sorry to laugh. That shocked me. Because, Tom, you're a great player.
Yeah, but I don't know that.
You didn't know that. Iowa.
Chris, of course, goes with like the obscure team in the Big
Ten. Why is Iowa obscure? Did you have to have Ohio State?
No, but I think most people wouldn't have picked Iowa.
Or Michigan,
at least
Penn
four
State.
Teams in the Big Ten, right? That they would have went to.
Four choices on
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
No, I think Iowa would have come before Minnesota. But I digress.
Iowa State, though, in the Big 12.
Yes. Well, I didn't guess them.
Right. We didn't. We were very aware.
Aggressive there.
Greg out in Hamul. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. So you'll remember me as the one that misses the third question too many times.
Oh, well, not today, Greg.
Oh, man.
Not today, Greg.
Yeah.
Going all the way, baby.
Been a little while.
It has been. Here we go. First question. In the 1998 World Series, the Padres defeated this team.
What?
Wait, what?
In the 1998
One more time.
World Series, the Padres lost to this team.
Yankees.
Well, that was great revisionist history, though, Tony.
For everyone out there, I did not write that question.
It sounded really good for the moment.
The only question you have is one that we've already used. We used it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry.
We move to question number two. What college did Brady Hoke get his college football head coaching start with?
Oh, man. Man, I'm drawing a blank. Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
That is incorrect.
Wake Forest, happy to get a mention, though.
Wake
Forest, I know, huh? I know it's some obscure one. Hey, I wanted to tell you guys where I'm going. Unfortunately, I am COVID positive, and I'm about on my 10th day. I'm getting better. But
good.
I would just say my recommendation would be stay safe because it's not something that you want.
Wow. Mm. Everybody's told us the exact same thing. Thank you, Greg.
Thank
I'm
you
glad
for sharing
you're feeling
that,
better.
Yeah.
Now I'm supposed to eliminate him from the game after
no.
that?
No,
that's okay. Well,
no, I'm sorry to the two on the line, but I think Greg deserves the prize. And I'm just saying that.
No, it's okay. No,
Greg, you're not helping me because I have no more questions. you're my scapegoat.
Oh.
You got another
question. Second question.
Let's give the prize to Greg today. He could use a couple of T-shirts.
Appreciate
going
it.
Through a tough time.
Yes.
Greg,
stay there, Greg.
Congratulations, you're today's winner. You're a good player, and you have been a good player. But we're most happy that you're feeling better from the COVID thing. So keep doing all the right things, and you'll be back to normal, hopefully, before you know it, Greg. Thanks for coming on the show, and stay online there, and Scraby will get your info and get you the swag.
Okay, have a good night, guys.
You too.
All right, there you go, Greg.
Yeah.
Brady Hoke, I believe, started at Ball State, but I just wanted to clear that up.
You believe correctly.
I believe correctly. Okay.
You
know why I remember that so well? I remember it because he had like a 10-0 or 10-1 season, and David Letterman went to Ball State, and so David Letterman brought Brady Hoke on the David Letterman show.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
That is a random way to remember that, but it's an awesome way.
That's a way to remember.
I mean, this is the same guy who became a Dolphin fan because
he watched
Dolphins.
A documentary on Dolphins.
Dolphins, right?
Like real Dolphins, not like
Dan
Marino. Not a
football documentary.
The way you guys remember things doesn't seem to work as well, so maybe you ought to think about trying it.
Touche. 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 Yeah. All right, let's get to break. We teased earlier we were going to talk about DeSean Jackson. We're going to get back into that. Not anything earth-shattering, but it is movement in a direction that I think is the right direction. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. Here's a look at traffic with Kelly Dannett.
Chris, hello from Sofia, Bulgaria. Tony Gwynn Jr. from his home in Poway. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Oh, the little things you learn on Chris versus the Fans. Again, all the best to Greg out there. Wins our prize today, going through the COVID battle, and sounds like he's starting to feel better. And, Greg, we're thinking about you once again. Feel better and do all the things you got to do to get back to 100%, my friend. DeSean Jackson, Philadelphia Eagles, created a stir earlier this week, Tony, with some tweets, I guess it was, And yes. It upset some members
Instagram
of
the posts.
Instagram posts, I beg your pardon. The Eagles have DeSean Jackson immediately apologized for all of those, but the Philadelphia Eagles still today penalized him for conduct detrimental to the team. He has been fined an undisclosed amount of money. The Philadelphia Eagles, quote, do not tolerate hate towards any individual or group. We believe in respect and equality for all races, ethnicities, and faiths. We, as an organization, want to help be an instrument for positive change. We have had a number of constructive conversations over the last few days, not only with DeSean Jackson, but with many other players, members of the organization, leaders of this community. And that has led us to the point where we're ready to take the next step. There's no quote in here from DeSean Jackson yet, but he has apologized and has apparently accepted the consequences. As the Eagles said, we must continue to fight against anti-Semitism and all forms of discrimination while not losing sight of the important battle against systemic racism. DeSean Jackson, I think the bottom line here, Tony, DeSean Jackson's got to be more careful. He's got to do better. But I think he was just honestly was ill-informed in the stuff that he put out. And as soon as it got out, he realized that he had been ill-informed and wished he could have taken it back. So, I'm okay with him as long as everything continues along those lines. Some people feel like this is a bit of a slap on the wrist for DeSean Jackson. I'm not so sure. I don't know. What are you supposed to do to him? I mean, do you really going to cut him from the team because he made a mistake like that? That, I think, would have been going a little too far. I don't think they needed to do that. So
They couldn't do that because I do recall their wide receiver a few years back, Cooper.
Oh, what was his name? Riley Cooper, yeah.
Riley Cooper using a slur and then got like a 5-year extension like shortly thereafter. So I think ultimately you're right, Chris. This is an education issue. There's no hierarchy for the mistreated. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not one that needs to be put in front of the other. As the Philadelphia Eagles said, social injustice needs to be changed for everybody. We want equality for everybody. And I think DeSean, I don't need to hear from DeSean again. I want to see his actions. And
right
at this point, from what we've read and what's been out there, he is starting to actually put some of these lessons into action. I know he met with – go ahead, Greg.
Oh, I think you were just about to say it. Julian Edelman tweeted out last night or today that they had a long talk last night and they have a plan going forward about this.
Yeah. They're both – I think what he had proposed was that he would take DeSean – to a museum,
the
Holocaust Museum,
yeah.
In order to so he can learn. And the flip side, DeSean Jackson would take Julian Edelman to the African American Museum to learn a little bit about that. So,
right.
Listen, when you step out of line and you make as bad a mistake here as DeSean, and it's an educational piece, then it behooves you to educate yourself. And it seems like that's the route that DeSean Jackson has chosen. And I want to say this too, for folks out there, if you decide to take a leadership role, you got to make sure you're educated in whatever you're taking that leadership role in, because it could backfire on you in a hurry if you're not educated. And that's seemingly what happened to DeSean. As you said, I don't think he had malintent when he posted, but he was not informed at all of what he was posting about. And it caught up to him, and yeah. He's going to have to suffer the consequences. And like I said, I want to see his actions moving forward. And right now, he's on the right path.
So far, so good for DeSean Jackson. All right, so that's the latest on that. Scraby, guess what time it is?
4:24.
Yeah, it's time to talk about my favorite sport on the planet.
Day two
of the Workday Charity Open, Muirfield Village Golf Club, Dublin, Ohio.
Uh-oh.
Got to check my Friday afternoon round two golf scoreboard.
I have a feeling this is going to turn pretty interesting in this next five, six minutes.
Oh, here. I don't think it'll be too. It's not actually too interesting today. Colin Morikawa is running away with the tournament. Mm-hmm. He shot a 7 under par in the first round yesterday, follow that up on this brutally difficult golf course, according to our expert Matt Scraby, with a 6-under par 66 today. He's already 13 under through two rounds of this tournament.
If you pull the tape,
blowing
I said,
the field away.
If you pull the tape, the moment, I said yesterday that the golf course is going to be easier this weekend than
right,
it will be.
You did not. Oh, yeah. He did.
I did too. Tony,
why did you say it was
going to
be easier? Why is it? Is it because it's not because of weather conditions? Could it be because of that?
It could be because of that, because they had a lot of rain today, and that affects the golf course. But really, it's where the pin positions are. It's how long the tees are. It's all that.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Do the 31 mile per hour gusts of wind have anything to do with how difficult the course might be today? Because that's what it says the gusts were today.
But they also didn't play during the storms because, duh, they can't play in a thunderstorm.
The wind is 20 miles per hour today. That sounds pretty.
And when I was just watching them play before the show,
strong,
there was no wind because the storm went through.
Oh, get out. Give the guy credit. He's 13 under. You are just, you are so
can you
tough
check
on
Brooks
these guys.
Koepka is?
The guy shoot. Brooks Koepka's having a horrible round. He was two over par yesterday, and he's nowhere near the leaderboard.
He's 5 over for the term. He's tied.
Yeah.
I go,
so
Tony, before the show, I said, Brooks is tied for 133rd.
Tied for 133rd. That's, you know what? That is so unfair. I hate when you have misinformation like that.
I told you guys this was going to get good for the next one.
When you've got misinformation like that against Brooks Koepka, right now he's tied for 98th.
Oh, so he made a couple birdies, but still didn't make the cut.
He's plus 2 overall.
The cut's like 2 under.
Minus one.
1 under.
Nice.
So now
you're right.
Just
he's probably not
going to
make the cut. I'm saying it's a tough court. I'll tell you who's really struggled today. Unfortunately, Xander Schauffele, who was started off nicely. The San Diego Stater was up there to 5 under par, but he has gone backwards now to 1 under, just trying to hang in there, make the cut. Mickelson rallied a little bit today, shot a 3 under par.
Might be that 30-mile-per-hour wind that you were talking about, that gust.
Well, there is no gust for certain golfers. Evidently, Morikawa played with no gust. See, that's the only way Scraby can ever he gives you that crap every single time there's a major tournament. He goes, the golfers who golfed in the morning had it easier than the golfers who golfed in the afternoon.
He does say that quite often.
And then the next day, the weather was backwards, so the guys in the morning golfed got easier than the guys in the afternoon. And that's the only. And I always try to tell him, maybe the reason the guy's winning the tournament is because he's just golfing well. You know, but Scraby never buys into that. He never gives the person who's winning the tournament any credit. And when this guy shot 65 and 66 in windy, rainy conditions, give the guy a tip of the cap. I mean, that's a pretty good first two rounds, and he's 4 shots ahead.
Scraby's
point
is really
good.
So, I mean,
what point?
You just said it was really good.
I did not say your point was really good. Your
point is really good.
No,
I'm hearing you say it.
I am not saying your point. Your point is you're trying to say that Morikawa is only atop the leaderboard because the weather has been favorable to him.
I have not said one word about him. I mean, he's been up top ever since they returned to golf. He's been at the top of the leaderboard. He almost won the first tournament back. Remember that when he missed like the 3-foot putt?
Yeah, well,
you know what happened against Daniel Berger?
Yeah, but you know what happened last week?
They played a golf tournament.
And he missed the cut. And you know that it was the first time in his career that he missed the cut. See, you're supposed to know these things because you're the, quote, golf expert. But you know what? You're not really an expert. You just try to come on and sound like you're an expert.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, Scraby, you don't know all of this stuff that you should know. Morikawa had made the cut in 22 consecutive tournaments to begin his career. That's the second longest streak in the history of golf after Tiger Woods.
Anybody can read a tweet. 25
in a row. Hey, anybody can give factual information if they have the factual information.
What am I saying?
And then there's other people who don't. What are you saying that's wrong?
I haven't said one thing yet.
Can we go back to Brooks Koepka missing the cut, though?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Right. Now he's got to sit around in Columbus for the next, like, 7 days doing nothing.
I'm spewing venom.
I just remember how, I mean, and maybe, I've never been this good at any sport. But
right.
Maybe
wait, you when, played professional baseball. You were pretty
right.
Good.
I wasn't
you must
good
have
enough.
Been pretty good.
I wasn't good enough to feel like Brooks Koepka was feeling last year. He was talking a lot of noise.
He was. It,
karma in sports is real, ladies and gentlemen. It comes back, and if you aren't at the tippity 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 top, it usually comes back to bite you.
Well, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. He played very well a couple of weeks ago, nearly won the tournament, and then his caddy got the COVID thing, and Koepka had to sit out a couple of weeks, and I think now he's just a little rusty. That's all.
He's a little rusty. Okay.
I don't know.
If I were to say that.
I have no idea, but he's obviously not doing well in this tournament, so fine.
If I were to say.
I can wear that, Straby.
I just remember last year Brooks was like, I felt like he was winning every other tournament. Every tournament
he
stepped foot in, he was winning.
He was winning a lot.
It's not happening.
And the bravado, the bravado was high when he was winning. And, you know, it's funny. You don't get that same
guy. He got so much bravado that he grew that mustache. And I think
that might have been where it all went sideways, was that mustache in quarantine. That quarantine mustache he had.
Yeah, that set him back.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that's a heartbreaker for all of us.
It is. It really is. If I was gonna say, oh well, Rory McIlroy is just a little rusty. You guys would rip me apart.
Yes, because because it would be an uninformed statement. Whereas
how is yours any more informed?
Because he had to sit out the last couple of weeks because his caddy tested positive.
You
could
be rusty from 4 days.
And let's
off.
Not forget, didn't he have like a knee surgery too?
Who cares about that?
Oh, I know it doesn't matter
because you don't need your knee to hit a golf ball.
It's golf.
Yeah, Tiger Woods certainly didn't need his knees when his career careened off the path.
He won
10 years.
He won a U.S. Open on a torn ACL.
Yeah, he didn't win very much after that.
And that was about the last we saw of him for a decade. So,
I think you need your knees. I take that back, Brooks. Get your knees right first, man, and then I can.
I just like to have our Thursday and Friday golf discussions on the program.
I don't want to participate anymore.
I kind of like these golf discussions because. I get to
everybody that I am as knowledgeable about golf as Scraby
Chris
is.
Chris probably saw that tweet about Morikawa about 3 minutes before we came back to the show. So don't act like you've been studying up on Colin Morikawa.
That's not true. I saw that tweet 3 hours before the show.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a little bit of prep on that.
I was ready to roll on my Morikawa stats. Ready to roll.
You ready to roll for the Big Five?
We are. We're going to get into that when we come back. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. And the golf amateur Matt Scraby is our producer. It's Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
All kinds of stuff going on, guys. Westbound side of the 8th to South 125, there's an accident in the clearing stage. Also, traveling on the northbound 125 past Grossmont College, two left lanes are blocked with a crash. That North County ride has been active. Southbound 5, an accident past La Costa. Looks like that's the clearing stage. We've also got an accident eastbound 78 just before Nordahl Road. Looks like several vehicles involved there, mostly in the center divide. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
If you have any Big Five topics, you can send them to me on Twitter at Matt Scraby or Instagram, Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris at Chris LOSD. Let's get started.
Number five.
Padres' Will Myers has a feat coming up if this season gets going. He currently sits at 95 career home runs as a Padre. So with five more homers, he will reach 100 and be in eighth place in Padres history. So we're going to start with you, Tony. What do you think Will Myers is capable of the rest of his Padre career?
Will Myers, what is he capable the rest of his Padre career? Good question.
I honestly think
he may be due for a bounce back season this year. I'm hopeful that this Will Myers that we got to see at the end of last year and we saw during the beginning of spring training is here to stay. And the one thing that there's some things I've seen in his swing that make me think he may be. But I've also been down this road before, so I'm not even really that comfortable predicting what I may see, but I am a lot more hopeful in 2020 than I was last year in 2019.
I forgot to play the audio of him, so here it is. Yesterday in his press conference, he was talking about He's ready. He's ready to go. Here he is.
So ready. You know, I think it's one of those things that it's a level playing field for every team out there. And I think the team that adjusts the best and welcomes these challenges to be able to adjust is going to do the best this year. So I feel like we have to meet those head on and just be ready for a different season than we've ever had before. But like I said, I think the team that adjusts the best and meets these things head on will have the most success. So, you know, whatever kind of comes our way, you know, I know each team's going to, you know, get behind the eight ball at some point this season with COVID or, you know, something might come up. But the team that has the ability to really bounce back and come through that is going to be the team that has the most success this year.
Well, that didn't do anything to help my case here. So, Chris, what is Will Myers capable of the rest of his Padres career?
Do you want to play another quote before I answer?
No, that wasn't even the right quote or the good quote. That was it. It's labeled ready, so I thought, never mind.
What time are the Scroobies today?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. What is Will Myers capable? I will say that he's certainly capable of reaching triple digits in Padres home runs.
Man, you are going out on a limb.
Going out on
a
limb. He needs 5 more to get to 100. I think he'll make it.
Anything further? Will Myers is a polarizing
topic. I'll be honest with you. I actually like Will Myers, and I think he's a threat. I'm tired of him making me look kind of wrong. Because I agree with Tony. I always kind of expect that Will Myers is just going to do a whole lot better than he always does. So I still have hope that, you know, this is a season where he does he can't do a 30-30 in 60 games, but, you know, he has that kind of a, you know, power and speed type season. And, you know, as the comeback player of the year, we've talked about this 4 or 5 times, that Will Myers is a perfect candidate to win that kind of award. And it's going to take something like that for the Padres to make a run in the NL West for somebody like Will Myers to surprise like that. But I always kind of believe in him. I always talk him up. I always like talking to him. He's always upbeat. I think you could hear it in his tone there. He's just a good guy to be around. He's a positive force.
He is positive,
but,
for
but
sure.
But he just, you know, he lets us down so often that it's hard to get, like Tony said, you don't want to fool me once, shame on you type of thing. So yeah. I'll say that he gets to 100 home runs for sure, though.
Okay. Number 4. Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni took the team chartered flight to the bubble in Orlando. Or what are we calling it now? The campus.
Campus.
In Orlando.
Campus. Don't be disrespectful, Scott.
Sorry. The campus.
Adam Silver doesn't want to hear bubble coming from you.
Yes. The campus in Orlando this week. Even though he doesn't know if he will be coaching or not, he has yet to receive official word from the NBA that he has been cleared to coach the remainder of the season. D'Antoni is 69 years old. He said earlier this week that his medical screenings did not reveal any issues that would be considered red flags. The league office informed the National Basketball Coaches Association that nobody would be placed in the high-risk category, meaning they wouldn't be allowed to coach in the campus due to age alone. So, Chris, should it be the coach's choice to coach?
I would like in a regular society, I would like the coach to be able to make their own decision. But these are not regular times right now, so I understand why there's some other input involved. The thing I would be most concerned about, Mike D'Antoni and any other NBA coach, is just their normal behavior on the sideline during the course of a game. I mean, these guys go absolutely bonkers. I mean, if you've ever watched Mike D'Antoni coach a game before, I mean, he loses his mind out there, and you got to be I think this would be a year where you'd want to try to be a little more careful. But yeah, I think that there should be other input. I normally I wouldn't say so, but I think these are not normal times.
Tony, should it be the coach's choice to coach?
If they're willing to sign a waiver, yeah, sure. I think there's probably some liability there for the NBA, which is a reason why you wouldn't want him to coach. But in the same breath, I'll say that if a coach wants to coach and he understands the risk he's taking, as the players do, right? He should be allowed to.
Number 3.
Much has been made about the NBA campus in Orlando. I have to change my word and everything I've written. But what I think people are most interested in is the living conditions. We talked about the meals, and Rajon Rondo of the Lakers shared a picture on social media of his room, and he's not happy. He wrote in the picture, and guys, I put this on the sheet. You can see it below. It's a nice-looking room, but he wrote, Motel 6, hun, at NBA. Then he put a middle finger emoji on the picture as well. So it's a little much. It's a
How
little
do you really
much.
Feel, Rajon?
I know.
That's Rajon, though, isn't it?
I guess. But the room looks nice. And Motel 6, by the way, did respond to a tweet saying, we'll keep the light on for you. So love that.
I like it.
Good love that. Tony, could acting spoiled like this ruin a player's reputation? Or is this just like a one-time situation?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Right now, I see people losing their mind about putting a mask on. I don't want to hear anybody complaining
Great
about
point.
I don't want to hear anybody complaining about this guy complaining about his room. No, I don't think. I think Rajon is probably just piling on a fad that it seemed like everybody was going down yesterday in terms of saying how bad the hotel room is, how bad the food is. And maybe he genuinely feels like that. Maybe he does feel like the rooms and the food is terrible, which is fine. He's entitled to his opinion. I don't think, as long as he doesn't continue to every day post something and talk about how bad the room is and food is, I don't think people will pay much mind to it.
Chris, what do you think about Rajon Rondo's Motel 6 comparison?
I'll answer as if I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. here.
Okay.
I don't care what Rajon Rondo thinks of the room. All I care about is how well he plays when it's time to play and
Indeed.
Help me win my championship.
That bed looks like it will get him some rest. I'm not joking. It looks nice.
So
I tell you what, Rajon put in some work during this offseason. This dude looks like a bodybuilder.
Wow, I did not know
that. I think Rajon Rondo is an underrated player just in general.
I agree.
I have always been amazed at how good he is when he was with the Celtics, how good he was when he was with the Bulls, how good he still is with the Lakers. And people are critical of his game. You know, he doesn't shoot it. This shoots a whole lot better than Ben Simmons does, and nobody ever complains about Ben Simmons' game.
Yikes.
I think Rajon Rondo's he's not a Hall of Famer, but, I mean, he's just a really quality, good NBA player.
Yeah.
I think.
Number two.
You guys hear what our boy Woj did? He got in a little bit of trouble.
Woj, don't press in, bro. Don't press in.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was possible.
I didn't think so either, but it is because
man, Woj jumped out the window on this one.
Oh yeah,
you could tell this was a natural, instinctual reaction.
Yeah. For the most part, though, he's had a clean pass. I don't remember anything off the top of my head about Woj getting into trouble until now, because Missouri Senator Josh Hawley posted an email from Woj with the caption, quote, "Don't criticize China or express support for law enforcement to ESPN. It makes them real mad at OutKick." I don't know what OutKick is, but that's what he tweeted. The picture that he tweeted with it was an email from Woj simply saying, "F you." That's all he wrote back. The expletive came in response to a letter from Hawley condemning the list of messages that NBA players are approved to wear on the back of their jerseys when the league restarts later this month. The Missouri lawmaker claimed that the NBA is censoring support for law enforcement officers or the military in any criticism of the Chinese Communist Party. Woj apologized, said he's trying to apologize to Hawley directly on the phone, and Ian said they will handle in-house. So, Chris, big deal, little deal, or no deal for Woj?
It's a deal, but I don't understand the deal enough to make a real good comment on this. You're going to have to try to explain it to me. Somebody was tweeting Woj?
Yes.
The senator sent a letter to Adam Silver saying basically that Adam Silver was censoring what messages could come out of there.
Right.
And Woj caught wind because it said a lot more. It had a lot more kind of little jabs in there. And I think Woj took it personally.
It did, apparently. I believe.
Did the tweet or the letter have something to do with the email, have something to do with the fact that, like, the NBA apparently has to clear everything with Woj before they can get it out?
No, it didn't.
Because that's the way I kind of feel. You know, it's like the NBA has to run everything past Woj before they can announce something. because he announces everything. And if somebody wrote that, then I could see him reacting the way he did.
But I think we've all been here. We've all had an angry response to an email that we've thought, okay, this is a little too much to send, so I'm going to get rid of it. But I think what he said was he didn't mean to send it, but he sent it. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, he'll take the consequences that go along with it, but it's I think he's allowed a mulligan.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. For sure. Tony, is it a big deal, little deal, or a no deal for Woj here?
What is it, big deal, little deal? No, that's a little deal. That's a little deal. I think, I honestly feel like Woj's reaction made it a more serious, his reaction to his reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, his reaction to the reaction, I feel like made it a much bigger story than it probably would have been.
He just wrote F you. But he didn't write F.
Oh, he didn't write F. He actually spelled it out.
Oh, he spelled the word out.
He spelled it all the way out without stars
or anything. It was just written.
Okay. That's how you know it was instinctual. Like he didn't dress it up with some stars or anything. He just straight up bleep, bleep, bleep. I'll say little deal.
No, okay. All right, Woj, be better, man.
Number one.
Baseball and expansion teams. The MLB has been thinking about this, expanding from 30 teams to 32 teams in the next few years. And Rob Manfred gave a list in 2018 of cities capable of supporting a new team. And Nashville is in the running. David Dombrowski said, "It's clear to me that Nashville is ready for the MLB, and Music City Baseball is making smart and exciting decisions as it works to bringing a team here." I know that there's more behind the story, but I don't have it with me right now. So,
where do you have it?
It was on a document from the other day, actually.
Oh, I see.
I believe Dave Stewart wants to get involved.
Dave Stewart, Tony La Russa, and who was the former GM for the Red Sox? Dombrowski.
Yeah, Dombrowski. Yeah.
They're heading the committee, I guess.
Bring baseball to Nashville committee.
Yes, yes.
Please bring La Russa back into the game because I miss him dearly.
I think Dave Stewart.
That's the smartest manager in the history of sports.
That's a joke.
I think Dave Stewart said that it would be nice because he would build it through having a black GM, a black manager, maybe a black owner. So he's saying that he wants to include that too. Correct, Tony? You're giving me this look.
No,
like
I mean, that is the idea. They would like to get the first black owner. But that isn't really their decision. You know, they're just the committee. They're almost like going to counsel Rob Manfred on this, but they won't have a direct say in it. My understanding of it is.
Chris, my question is.
Yeah, what's the question?
Yeah, the question is Nashville a good spot for baseball? Chris?
I'm sure it is. They've had a successful minor league franchise there for many years, as far as I know. I think that going back to the black ownership thing, though, I think that's important. And I think that the baseball could do a whole lot worse than to include some minority ownership. And so whether that's in Nashville or somewhere else, you know, I think that's something that they really ought to try to get done moving forward.
Tony?
So, whether it's in Nashville, doesn't matter. I don't really care where they play the games or where the team is, but I think who owns the team could be significant.
Tony, what do you think about a team going to Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville is a great city. I played there quite some time for the Nashville Sounds. And, I think they would handle it. They would handle a Major League Baseball club awesome. And it's a great city. I agree with Chris. Love to see a black owner in there, but I think to answer your original question, yes, Nashville would be an awesome city. It's one city when you're traveling in a Pacific Coast League that everybody will say there was Vegas and then there was Nashville. And
Nashville was in the Pacific Coast League.
Yes, this is believe it or not, believe it or not.
Wow.
They're in the Pacific Coast League, along with Memphis.
What Pacific Coast is that?
Yeah. right. Along with Memphis.
I hope they're at least in the Eastern Division.
They were in the Eastern Division. Well, but that place, those are the two big league cities that are in AAA. So, yeah, I think it would do great.
All right. Good job, guys.
Thank you very much. 5 o'clock hour on the way here. We'll get back into some of the top stories of the day. It's Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.